Visiting today with Oklahoma Farm Bureau's Rod Mozell. How are we doing?
We're doing wonderful. Enjoying this cooler than normal weather for this time of year. So it's all good.
It's been kind of one of those years where it has been cooler and we've actually gotten some rain. So that's been such a blessing.
I think this is about the greenest I can ever remember being at this stage in July, at least in a very, very long time.
Absolutely. Well, talk to us a little bit about some of the biggest issues that you're hearing coming from producers right now.
Well, it seems like there's never a shortage of issues, both at the federal level and at the state level. At the moment, a lot of the attention is at the federal level, and probably our biggest issue we're spending the most time on there is trying to keep the gains we've made on the estate tax in recent years, and then particularly to fight the new stepped up basis that's been proposed by the Biden administration and by many congressmen. And those changes would be exceptionally punishing to family farms and for that matter to all kinds of small businesses, small manufacturing, all kinds of family businesses that try to pass from one generation to the next. It would make it very, very tough on multi-generational farms. And so that's probably priority number one at the federal level right now.
And as you're working through that, what are some things, like, why is this so important that things stay the way they are as opposed to changing them?
Well, the stepped up basis is kind of besides just looking at changing the amount that's exempted from estate tax when you move from one generation to another. And during the Trump years, Congress had moved that number up to around 11 million. So it could be by far the majority of Oklahoma farms could move from one generation to the next without a punitive tax at the time of passing. And that had been a big change where a lot of the proposals have been to drop it back down to as low as a million. And with farms being so capital intensive, it doesn't take a very big farm for the land and the tractors and the equipment and the barns to be well over a million. The farmers are often cash poor and asset rich, as we all say. And so that's why estate tax is such a big deal, as we all hope to have the chance to pass those farms on to our children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews. And so the variability to do that, to maintain the role of those farms and small businesses in our communities is at risk with those policy changes. And the stepped up basis would say that if it's been in your family for a very long time, it raises the value to current instead of being able to continue to work off of the values that were actually paid back in time. And so that would have just a huge impact on long-term family farms and businesses.
Well, and I know that we're already seeing some struggle with people being able to even find someone to inherit the farm. And if this happened, that would make it almost impossible.
The irony is so many of the people that talk about these policies say they're friends of family farmers and small farms and ranches, and yet these kind of policies are the very thing that is going to cause a huge attrition and a huge loss of family farms and force more of that land and those farms into larger corporate type structures. And I think they're being very short-sighted when they're thinking of these policies. And so we hope that we can tell the story and convince more folks of the impact. And you know, it's also, these are in our minds a form of double taxation, because you're paying taxes each year on on the profits and gains you make on the operation, and yet then you're coming back and having to the next generations having to pay additional tax at the time of passing if we're not able to protect the estate tax exemptions that we currently have.
Right. Well, I know medical marijuana has been a hot topic across the state with so many concerns, but what is the latest that you've heard that's happening with the task force?
The task force right now is in an education mode, trying to get more up to speed. There's, lots of concerns as we're out around the state. And I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more of that as we get ready for our August area meetings. But a lot of folks are blaming the rapid rise in property values in rural parts of the state on the medical marijuana business. I think part of that is true, but I think as I talk to Farm Bureau presidents all across the country, we're seeing a huge increase in rural land values pretty much across the whole country, whether it's housing in small towns or whether it's farm properties. And a lot of that's just there's the government's printed so much money and there's so much assets chasing hard assets that it's causing an appreciation in all kinds of land and housing. But certainly in our state, that's been a factor. There's a lot of concerns about the additional pressure on the electricity grid of our rural electric cooperatives across the state and on rural water districts. So the task force is taking a real hard look at what those impacts are and trying to figure out, you know, if there's policy changes we need to propose or be involved in to deal with those as we go forward in Oklahoma.
Well, kind of speaking with that, with other states like, you know, Colorado and California trying and having actual success in passing some laws that don't benefit farmers, how can Farm Bureau like help with that in Oklahoma?
Well, of course, we tried a few years ago to be preemptive here in the state, and we were not successful in telling our story and getting enough voters aboard to address that preemptively. And a lot of what we heard was that there has to be a crisis before we could get the voters all to address that. But from the experience that we've had in that, Oklahoma has tried to be Oklahoma Farm Bureau just as recently this last month has reached out and offered financial support to Colorado, which was facing a very onerous initiative petition on to limit the animal production industry. And our a number of people on our staff were very helpful with the experience they have from dealing with those kinds of legal and initiative issues and helpful to Colorado, we hope. And they actually just succeeded in getting that initiative knocked out for having multiple issues on the petition. But we're, you know, it appears that the folks that are behind that are going to be bringing back some other version of that. So we're not only trying to be diligent and watch those kind of issues in our state, but trying to be helpful to our friends in the agriculture industry in neighboring states to give them financial support and help them to either be on the initiative that stay ahead of those things or to be on the defensive to beat those kinds of initiatives of folks that don't really understand agricultural production. And it all comes down to we all have to work at being better at telling our story to our friends and neighbors and the folks at church and our cousins in the city. And so we all have to work at telling the story of agriculture and why we do the things we do and why it's important.
Yes, and it is so important because I think some of those farmers are actually moving to Oklahoma because they're kind of tired of the way things are in their state.
It's been interesting when you look all of the states here in the middle of the country seem to be receiving not only farmers moving here to avoid the additional rules and regulations in a lot of the coastal states, but during COVID, certainly that was speeded up for regular folks. It's been interesting to watch, you know, how many here, my realtor friends talk about how many folks have bought properties in Oklahoma City or Tulsa without ever even seeing them and moving from places like New York City and New Jersey and San Francisco and Los Angeles to come here. And then there's been people in Oklahoma City and Tulsa that have been buying property in smaller towns in Oklahoma. So there's been a trend away from population to lesser populated areas, kind of based on a matter of perspective, from giant cities to Oklahoma City and Tulsa, and from Oklahoma City and Tulsa to rural Oklahoma. So it's been a reversal of some of the, for at least for a short term here, of some of the trends that have gone on for quite a few decades.
Well, switching gears just a little bit, you guys do have some fun events that are not quite so serious coming up with the Women's Leadership Conference and, of course, the annual shotgun shoot. Tell us a little bit about those fun things coming up.
I tell you, the Women's Leadership program has really grown the last few years. We've been blessed with just remarkable leadership in the last several presidents on that side of the operation and great boards. And they keep thinking up all kinds of great new ways to serve the community from the Ronald McDonald House to to a lot of events with the legislators and serving food to the legislators, to the bushels of books for school classrooms, and tremendous support for Ag in the Classroom. And then that culminates with their annual conference that's coming up in Edmond. So we're very excited to welcome all women in agriculture to participate in that. And so they have just wonderful programming we're very proud of. And the Young Farmers and Ranchers has had a great vitality the last few years and continues to grow. And we all know the need to get more young people involved in agriculture, because we do have an AIDS problem. There's still times, I'm in my 60s now, and there's still times I walk into rooms and I'll be the youngest guy or one of the youngest. And so it reminds me of how important it is that we get the young farmers and ranchers involved in not only in Farm Bureau, but in our communities, and helping to take leadership and bring that new energy and vitality. And one of the things our young farmers and ranchers have done the last couple of years is the shooting event. And it's been just a huge amount of fun, and there's still room for more teams to participate in that, and a chance to interact with people from all over the state when you do that.
So can folks still sign up for the Women's Leadership Conference and the shotgun shoot by just going to the website?
They can go to the website and still participate in both of those. And we always like to welcome new folks. So it's always fun to get to see folks you've met before when you've already participated, and to renew friendships from around the state. But there's a special excitement about welcoming new folks to each of those events. And we hope folks will feel welcome at Farm Bureau events, you know, in their county, in their region, or across the state, and look forward and need new blood and new ideas. So come aboard.
That's right. I mean, and you could bring in a ringer, for the shotgun shoot and win the whole thing, and then you'd have bragging rights for the next year.
I heard some stories that there might have been some that went on last year. There was there were actually Monty Tucker, one of our board members, has gotten real involved with his kids in the 4-H and school shooting sports, and so the ringers he brought in were a bunch of young kids that were pretty amazing.
So either way, it works, right? And you guys also have your August area meetings coming up, correct?
Yes, and it's so exciting to be able to do those in person again this year. It's you know, we try to do all these Zoom things and webinars and so forth, trying to stay in touch through COVID, but the last few months, as we've been doing more and more in-person events, it's just so much more fun when you get to shake people's hands and see folks and share stories and so forth. And so the August area meetings are very important, as they're the beginning of our issue deal. But the biggest part of that is the chance to fellowship and network and meet your fellow farmers and ranchers from your part of the state. And so we're going to be having meetings in all 9 Farm Bureau districts. Actually, 2 districts are so big geographically, they have 2 in them. So we actually have 11 area meetings. You can see those on our website or in your Farm Bureau magazine or newsletters. And we would certainly welcome you to attend the August area meeting. Meet the fellow farmers, ranchers from your surrounding counties, and start to give your input on the issues and that are important that we need to be thinking about for the year ahead.
And once again, everybody can check out those meetings by going to okfarmbureau.org. You guys actually have them where you can just click on where you're at in your neck of the woods and know exactly where to show up.
And we're blessed with an amazing communications team, and they keep figuring out ways to keep improving things and making it easier. As you know, one of the challenges now is we got so many kinds of communication, but you know, it's not just the newsletter or the magazine. It's the website, it's Facebook, and it's Instagram, and it's tweeting, and all kinds of things. So we keep trying to figure out how to use all these different tools to reach people where they're at and get them involved.
Well, I think you're doing a great job, and so is your team, Rod. Thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Thank you, Casey. We look forward to seeing you in person sometime soon, too.
Absolutely. I'll be there.